Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby live on your radio. This is the broadcast for August the 7th in the year of our Lord, 2020. This is hour two of two. The goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country. It is a faith-filled, freedom-loving, fantastic Friday, folks. Welcome to the broadcast. Kirk Crosby's with me. Hey, Kurt, you got your voting shoes on, buddy?
My voting shoes? Is that what you said?
Roger that. Yes, sir.
What are voting shoes?
Well, it just means you got to get ready, buddy, to put on your sneakers and run to the rally. Run to the vote.
Oh.
Right. Oh, okay. You know what you're voting for, don't you, Kurt?
Mm-mm.
What?
Well, I mean, not that I'm
Kurt,
really
the most
aware
important
of.
Vote there is, buddy.
Okay. What's that?
Glenn Beck has been nominated for the Radio Hall of Fame. The Radio Hall of Fame allows the public to vote on its, quote, nominees. One vote per email address, Kurt. If you haven't voted yet, vote for Glenn, my friend. He wants to be voted into the Radio Hall of Fame, buddy. Okay? You need to go and point your browser to radiovote.com, Kurt. Can you do that? All right.
RadioHallOfFame.com?
No, Radio Vote. Remember, vote, buddy. Come on. RadioVote.com. You have until Sunday, August the 9th, to double down for Glenn, and then the polls close, buddy. All right. Now, I need you to hurry over and vote Glenn, Kurt.
You want this done?
No. Absolutely not. After voting, Kurt, could you please give us a hand? Will you please share the following on your social media? Just a simple copy and paste, buddy, is all it takes, my friend.
This is how you get into the Radio Hall of Fame.
Apparently. Yes, sir. All right. By the way, I just voted for Glenn Beck for the Radio Hall of Fame. Did Sam really do this? No. Don't get deceived. No, I did not. No, I did not. Don't call me and say, why did you vote for Glenn Beck? Because I did not. I'm reading you an email that I got sent, okay? I just voted for Glenn Beck for the Radio Hall of Fame. Could you take the time to vote too, Kurt? Just visit vote. I'm sorry. Just visit radiovote.com, buddy. It's all you got to do. And then, Kurt, when you're done, will you do me a favor? Spread the word on your social media, buddy. Okay, this is the email that I just got.
And well, it's kind of like all these deals that you see, Sam, where it's like, hey, man, we got 5-star Google reviews. Then you go into their place and it's like, hey, we'll give you $10 off if you give us a 5-star Google review. And I'm thinking, hey, I think you're leading the witness. It just seems like that's how that
Yeah, and this is just so weird. So who might spread to their lists to vote for Glenn Beck? And, you know, it might not even be the Glenn Beck supporter and or listener or whatever. It might be some other list group that, you know, you believe if you're a Republican, you'll support Glenn Beck in his quest. And Glenn Beck is just nipping at Rush's heels or, you know, I don't know how it all goes. But I got thinking about that and I thought, is being part of the Radio Hall of Fame like a legitimate thing, or is it just a who can spread the word on social media the most? Why don't you do me a favor and go to radiovote.com and see what's there, Kurt. You got a quick second to do that? But I got this email and I just got shocked. I just went, what?
It's just basically the first thing you got to do is put in your email and, you know, start. I mean, I guess they figure that means you've already chosen them, you know. That's what I can
Wait a minute.
See.
You got to put your email in?
Yeah.
Why don't you pop that in there, Kurt?
I didn't really want
Don't you want to get on a list and have them just propagandize you for the rest of your life, buddy?
I got so many of those things already that...
Yeah, you need more, Kurt. And then what they'll do is ask you to vote on the next thing and the next thing and the next thing, and then pretty soon they'll just have their list of favorable voters. They'll drop the addresses, the vote no, or drop this or that. And, you know, then will the, you know, group send the contact list to hosts like Glenn that are their partners or what? What I mean is I look at this, Kurt, it's just a big sham, buddy.
Well, right? It seems like, you know.
All right, is there anything else
I mean, I couldn't get past that first part because I didn't really want to put in my
email. Kurt, you got to pay to play, buddy. I mean, it's just ridiculous. I don't blame you for not wanting to. I don't want to either.
Yeah.
You're exactly right, and I'm not really suggesting you should vote for Glenn Beck for one second.
I'm not totally against him or anything like that. I'm simply
No,
saying,
but would you vote for him to get in the Hall of Fame?
At least when you're talking about broadcasters, at least in our time, you know, he's one of the most notorious ones, that most people are aware of. But I will say this, that I think most people don't know this, that I could take any person, if we had the right amount of money, and make them the most listened to talk show host in the world.
You got to have two things, though. You got to have the right amount of money, but in addition, you got to own the media.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. It's still money, right?
Yeah, because you'd buy the media. But I just want people to understand, even if you had a lot of money, but if you didn't control the media, they could still shut you down because they don't really care about money in the end of the day. You'd have to do is buy up that media, and with the media and your money.
Exactly
now, you're right on the point that it takes the money to get it done. I agree. I just want people to understand that unless you took the step to buy and control the media, you could still be locked out. Look at what they're doing to Trump, and he has a lot of money.
Done. That's right. But what I'm saying is, you know, your media sources, the big money people, whether that's the Cumulus or the, you know, Citadel or whatever, you know, the different boys that are the big iHeart Media, you know, the massive players, you know, they can make somebody a household name tomorrow, or they can remove them.
RadioVote.com, buddy. And I look at it and I don't know, you know, is it really, do you get in the Hall of Fame for something, Kurt? And this is interesting on a broader spectrum, whether it's the NFL Hall of Fame or the NBA Hall of Fame or the Radio Hall of Fame or whatever you're in, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Is it really about the popularity of how hard you can make a push or whose arms you can twist or, you know, how you can advertise via social media or whatever else? Or was the Hall of Fame in the back in the day intended to? Well, let me give you an example of somebody who I believe really would probably single-handedly deserve the real Hall of Fame more than anybody else, at least in radio, modern time radio kind of a discussion. It would be a Paul Harvey, Kurt. Right?
Right.
Now, is it because Paul Harvey's going to win the popularity contest? No, I don't think so.
He wouldn't send out notices to all this.
No, I don't think he would. No.
And say, yeah, good point.
Vote for me. I want to be the guy. I'm your rock star. Mm-hmm. Hey, put me at the top. That's just not Paul Harvey style. Paul would say.
Plus, the weird thing about this may be that Glenn Beck has nothing to do with it.
You could be right. For sure, Kurt.
And yet you have a bunch of guys going, hey, man, we'll gather a whole bunch of emails by these kind of people who want to support Glenn Beck, and then we'll, you know, advertise to them or we'll sell their info to people. You know, I mean, that's the world we live in today.
Yeah, and I don't know if Glenn's behind it. Now, I would love just to call Glenn and say, hey, what's the scoop with this? Are you involved in it or what? But, you know, how do you do that, Kurt? Glenn's like untouchable.
Good point.
Please enter your email. I'm going to put my email in that I use for such purposes, Kurt. Got
it? Yeah, it's like whitehouse.gov or something like that.
No, Kurt. Because here's what I want to know. Who can I vote for, Kurt?
Mm-hmm.
They want me to vote for Glenn Beck, but who can I vote for, sir? Do you know?
I don't know, Sam. But I'm sure they have a...
Now, I got a checkbox. I can opt out of receiving communications from them, but I'm gonna not do that. I'm going to get all
the communications.
And that works. Of course it
works. That works really good because, I mean, if you opt out, I mean,
Kurt, the government's mandated that it works, buddy. Don't you understand that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a law. Right. To vote, click.
Wait a minute. So is it a law for, like, the Bureau of Land Management to not have a kill list?
No, they have they have a special privilege, my friend. They can have kill lists all day.
Is it a law for the government to not withhold exculpatory evidence?
Oh, they don't have. They can do that if they want to.
Yeah, see, so at least as far as I can tell, either all of these are laws, but, you know, when you're the insider boys, you just, you know, kind of can break law, you know. Like, wouldn't it be against the law to have, you know, if you're Hillary and Bill, to hand over uranium assets in America to the Russians? I mean, yeah. You know, that'd be kind of like against
You know, for Hillary, there's and no yet, laws against that. You hang out with the Russians, no problem.
That's the
giving
point.
All the uranium and stuff. But you, my friend,
you double park, Sim. I mean, if you're double parked,
if you're waiting for to cross the train tracks, buddy.
That's right.
And you see the train so far away you can't even see it, and you go.
That's right.
Well, dude, like you could just kill everybody, man.
Yeah.
I mean, what are you thinking? Right.
$85 fine, baby.
Yeah, there you go.
You know,
because there's a law about that, don't you know?
Yeah.
See, I mean, it's just insanity. All right, listen to this. You got a music format on-air personality you could vote for first, Kurt. All right. Sway Calloway, New York, buddy.
One of those. Oh, never heard of him.
Sway Calloway parlayed his rapper mentality in the Oakland Bay Area. Okay, that's that guy. And, of course, he was syndicated to 20-plus cities, Kurt. Okay.
Right.
Anyway.
Man, that's exciting.
Bob and Sherry Charlotte. Bob Lacey and Sherry Lynch. For in the morning show, Bob and Sherry. They broadcast over 1.1 million people, buddy. Pop Kohler. The reason that they're famous is because her salary matched his.
Hi, I'm Patty, wife of former Congressman Steve Stockman. In Congress, Steve sought impeachment of Eric Holder for his corruption of the Justice Department and his fast and furious gun running that caused border agent Brian Talley's death. Steve called for arrest of Lois Lerner for her contempt of Congress as it investigated her targeting of conservative nonprofit groups. After 4 years, four grand juries, and millions of tax dollars, Steve Stockman is in prison. His case involved four checks to nonprofits. DOJ has one standard for Hillary Clinton, but another for folks like President Trump and my husband. We've spent all our savings, all Steve's retirement, and much of mine. Steve Stockman has fought for you and America. Won't you join me now to fight for Steve? To help, text FIGHT to 444-999. Text FIGHT to 444-999 or go to defendapatriot.com. Defendapatriot.com.
Now, Mr. and Mrs. Sir Galahad, what seems to be the problem?
Well, it's just not working.
She's been very unrealistic.
Really?
Ever since he rescued me from the dragon, we've been drifting apart.
That's not true.
We were supposed to live happily ever after.
Now, this isn't a fairy tale.
At first, he was gallant and chivalrous, opening doors for me, holding my chair, taking my arm.
All right, I'm not as young as I used to be.
He simply isn't the man who swept me off my feet.
Well, you're not as young as you used to be.
Mr. Sir Galahad, maybe if you started by just holding Mrs. Sir Galahad's hand when you're together.
Really?
Yes, try it.
Okay.
All right.
Go on, take her hand.
Careful, little oil.
Marriage. You're never too far apart when you're still holding hands. From your neighbors, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Now, look into each other's eyes. That's right. Raise your visor.
Oh, they're blue, dear.
Yeah.
For more tips on strengthening your marriage, visit family.mormon.org.
All right, so Kurt, what you got is a bunch of music personalities. You got a few comedian personalities or whatever else. You got a few NPR personalities, government radio competing. And then you've got really Glenn Beck and Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller, a very well-known liberal host, National Morning Drive television star, a wildly popular female. She's a performer with a huge audience nationally on satellite and terrestrial radio. Simulcast on Free Speech TV. Her morning drive has 6 million plus viewers weekly. Anyway, the bottom line is there's like Glenn and Stephanie and a couple of other comedian goofballs. That's all you could vote for, Kurt.
No little space. It says fill in here. You know,
oh, heck no. Are you kidding me? And there's not even like Rush Limbaugh. There's not like Michael Medved.
I know Rush is already in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, so you can't have him there. He's already got that.
Yeah,
thing. He must
so he got in the Hall of Fame.
Early rounds.
And I was listening to him tell about it when Paul Harvey was around. And
I'm sure Paul Harvey's in the Hall
Sally
of Fame.
Jeffsy,
but here's my point,
Raphael.
Though, Kurt. We're seeking this, and I look at who's being nominated for the Hall of Fame right now, and I go, there's nobody there that I'd vote for, Kurt. And if I were to be forced to vote, I'd pick Glenn Beck over who I see here. But I don't see any real stiff competition. It's almost like they've selected the people to vote for that are not really competing in nature. They're just kind of different genres for the most part. And I don't know if it's like, well, Stephanie didn't get in this time, put her on the ballot next time and she'll get in. It's her turn on the Good Old Boy Network. I don't know. But I just look at the whole thing and go, I didn't realize what a sham that thing really was, Kurt. You know? Yeah. So Glenn Beck has been nominated for the Radio Hall of Fame. Question, Kurt, do you agree?
Do I agree with what?
Him being nominated.
I mean, I think the whole thing is a joke. Personally, but,
I know, but it's important. This is the issue of the day. But
it's like these deals where they have these things where they're like, hey, man, we were voted the number one dentist in Utah County or, you know, whatever it is. And then you find out, you go in the place and they got like a paper for you to fill out so that you can send in your ballot. You know, and I'm like, wait a minute. You know, if you're really getting voted, you know, why do you have to lead the witness? You know, but I mean, businesses, at least the guys who give you that sticker that says you're the number one dentist in Utah County or whatever it is, you know, you fill in the blank, have figured out ways of, hey, basically selling their wares. And one of the things they sell is that sticker that you can put up that says, hey, I'm number one, you know, and I mean, they got weird ways of figuring it all out.
It's so guess who? Let me just kind of add to the final point of shamdom. Is that a word, Kurt?
Sure.
Shamdom on this topic. Guess who nominated Glenn Beck for this prestigious?
Stu?
No, but close.
Yeah, okay. His wife.
Blaze Media.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Who's Blaze Media, Kurt?
Well, that's Glenn's media network.
Yeah, so it would be like Liberty News Radio nominates Sam.
Yeah, that's exactly. Yeah.
For the Radio Hall of Fame. Well, who owns Liberty News Radio? Well, Sam Bushman, of course.
Yeah, right.
So Glenn Beck's the Blaze, nominated Glenn Beck, you know,
surprise,
to be in the Radio Hall of Fame there. And I don't see really any competition. I mean, I guess if I'm going to vote, I'd put Glenn there versus Stephanie Miller, Kurt.
Yeah, good point. I don't even know who Stephanie Miller is.
I'm telling you, she's a big KFI radio talk show host.
I heard what you said.
It's just liberal as all get out. Just go look up Stephanie Miller. I mean, she's whacked. Crazy.
I don't really want to look her up.
Oh, come on, Kurt. Got to get into this, buddy. Anyway, so Glenn Beck nominated to the Radio Hall of Fame. Do you agree, Kurt?
Well, out of the ones they're telling us, you know.
Yeah, then you're crazy. Well, and that's really the whole point, Kurt, is that's how these people get so famous. Because they're the ones that you get your choices from. Like, you go to California and turn on your radio, and who are you going to get? Glenn, Stephanie, a few comedians, bunch of music hosts, and that's your choice, buddy.
Take your pick.
Now, people can't vote on Sam Bushman because they probably don't get the chance to know even who I am. Not that I'm necessarily seeking this position, but I am highlighting a point of how the media works. That's the whole reason that I went through this exercise is they got this Radio Hall of Fame. You get a vote. Glenn Beck's the Blaze nominates him to be in there. But see, I look at a guy like a Paul Harvey who really deserves the Hall of Fame. The guy wasn't seeking prestige and power. He was just a humble farmer guy kind of, you know, mentality. I'm not necessarily saying Paul was a farmer per se. But it was that, you know, and it was, I want to tell you the rest of the story, guy. For Sam Bushman, it's not that I want to be in the Radio Hall of Fame, it's that I want to be known as the constitutional conservative that walks straight down Constitutional Lane and defends the greatest country on the face of the earth and promotes God, family, and country and protects life, liberty, and property and truly articulates and teaches to the principles that, can bring back our greatness, that can restore the great country that we have, that can make sure we carry forward the legacy of our founders. And I want to do it in the media and our lives. And I don't care if you remember my name in the end of the day or not. If you remember the principles that we preserve this country, if we restore this nation to its greatness, if we teach people to turn to God and repent and have the blessings of liberty, that's all I want to be remembered for. And if my name fades into the background, I don't care one bit. All right, Vice President Mike Pence boldly saying Chief Justice Roberts, a disappointment, Kurt. Can I get a big amen?
Duh.
Yeah, good point. But it's interesting when the Vice President of the United States blatantly states it, Kurt.
Yeah, I mean, and yet telling, maybe he forgot the I word. Maybe he doesn't remember. You know, I mean,
impeach that sucker? Amen.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, they talk about impeachment of the president all the time. And yet, you know, when I read the Constitution, it seems like it specifically mentions judges. And so why not, you know, bring that up?
All right. So now my headline then, I've just wordsmithed it per Kurt's wise comments here. Has this Vice President Pence calls Chief Justice Roberts a disappointment? When do we impeach? That's my question, right? Now, who put this guy in place? Bush, Kurt?
I'm not sure. It seemed like every time we check on it, it's, you know, somebody who was put in place by, you know, somebody we supposedly trusted to put him in there. And yet, you know, I was looking at this. Who was it? Oh, yeah. There was some quote on Facebook where it said something about John Roberts being on page so-and-so of Epstein's you know, rides to the Lolita Express, and it was some other John Roberts. It wasn't really this one.
Oh, I see.
I will simply say that do you think you're not going to find ways to get people to do your bidding, whether they're notorious or nefarious ways, you know, like, for example, let's say you got John Roberts and you've got him a note that says, hey, you know, we know where your grandchildren live. We know those, you know, that kind of stuff. And if you don't give us a proper vote, they're going to have, you know, a little trouble going to school or whatever it is. You know, I mean, all I'm telling you is that if you think that things like that don't happen, then maybe you've never watched like a movie or something like that, Sam. I mean, you know, then maybe you could kind of start to understand why things like that occur, why votes happen the way they do sometimes, you know.
Amen to that reality check. The problem is people get blackmailed and stuff, Kurt, is the bottom line. But I commend Mike Pence for calling a spade, and I agree with Kurt Cosby. We need to work on the impeach Roberts agenda for sure. And this guy's been a disappointment for dereliction of duty all the way through. Anytime there's a vote, instead of standing for what's right, he becomes the swing vote for disaster.
Yep.
Shame on Roberts from the, quote, Obamacare, I don't know what you call it, circumvent. To save, is that the best circumvent to save Obamacare? All the way through to the modern religious attack by Roberts. I mean, what a disgrace this gentleman really has become to religious liberty, to rejecting socialism, for carrying out the Constitution, his sworn oath of office, to understanding and separating the checks and balances right on through. This guy, in my opinion, is guilty of dereliction of duty and should be impeached. But as Kurt would say, other than that, it's not so bad, huh, Kurt?
Couldn't agree more, Sam. Yeah,
all right.
Very well said.
New York City's whacked out, too, Kurt. New York City sets what they call visitor log checkpoints. That's the teaser. We'll talk about it in a second. Sam and Kurt on your radio. A whole lot of news the networks refuse to use straight ahead on your radio.
Exposing corruption. Informing citizens. Pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
The July jobs report just released by the federal government showing that the U.S. economy added 1.8 million jobs last month, and the unemployment rate fell to 10.2%. That's nearly one full point lower than the jobless rate for June. More than 8 in 10 teachers say they are worried about teaching students in their classrooms this fall. It's according to a new poll that just had its results released. The NPR Ipsos poll finds 82% of teachers surveyed say the coronavirus pandemic has got them concerned about returning to all in-person teaching. Thousands of people still waiting for their power to be restored 3 days after Tropical Storm Isaias unleashed heavy rain and wind on New York City, Connecticut, as well as northern New Jersey. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Balance of Nature's fruits and vegetables in a capsule, changing the world one life at a time.
I have a very busy podiatric practice, and usually I would find at lunchtime I kind of got a slump in terms of energy. But since I've been taking the Balance of Nature, I don't get that slump anymore. I've got a lot of energy throughout the whole day with the Balance of Nature. I don't get cold. I don't get sick. And most importantly, I tell my patients, what you need to do is get your immune system up. And by terms of taking your fruits and vegetables, eating correctly, that's the best way to get that immune system up. So all in all, you guys just keep doing what you're doing. It's a wonderful product. And I really feel that people would benefit from taking this product. Very happy with it.
Right now, Balance of Nature is offering free shipping and 35% off on any new preferred order. Call 1-800-246-8751 or go to balanceofnature.com today and use discount code USA.
President Trump is again slapping aluminum tariffs on Canada. At a speech in Ohio, the president said yesterday the tariff will go back to the original 10% rate. That after the administration lifted tariffs last year, ahead of the new U.S.-Mexico-Canada trade agreement. The president saying yesterday that Canada has been taking advantage of the U.S. by flooding the country with exports and killing aluminum jobs. Fort Hood in Texas has one of the highest rates of murder, sexual assault, and harassment in the Army. Secretary of the Army Ryan McCarthy saying yesterday during a visit to the base, because of this, a detailed look into the Army base is being conducted.
We are sending down an independent group of investigators to understand the root causes associated with the rise of felonies, violent acts, to better understand why this is happening at this installation.
And you're listening to USA Radio News.
I want to dedicate this song to Mr. Rupert Murdoch.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Kurt Crosby with me. So it's an interesting twist on this, Kurt, a little bit. New York City creates what are called visitor log checkpoints. And I guess what that means is if you come in the city, they're going to have all kinds of places on bridges and everywhere else. They're going to literally stop people and make you fill out a government form and show your ID and everything else. And they're going to want to force you to quarantine and everything else. And what has America turned into, Kurt? I mean, are you kidding me right now?
Well, I don't see why New York's going to need any of this, because basically they got people leaving in droves. The governor's there's trying to go, hey, man, all you rich cats, why don't you turn around and come back? But they're just, sending people out of there right and left. You get rid of the police, increase all the gang warfare and the drugs and the crime, and then on top of that, try to tax people like it was, you're just ripping them off right and left. And then they are surprised when people want to leave. I mean, who?
That's the deal. I just cannot believe they're doing this. They say they got to do it to protect everybody from the COVID, Kurt. And frankly, I'm starting to get sick of the COVID, Kurt. I'm just starting to get sick of it. What I mean is I understand that it's with us and all that. But man, every time I turn around, somebody's like doing something or not doing something because of the COVID. So I'm trying to work with Verizon, you know, cell phone people on something. And they're like, oh, our stores are closed because of the COVID. And then I'm like, well, what about this one? Oh, well, that one's open, but it closes at 5 because of the COVID. And it's like, you know, 4:30 or whatever. And you know, you got to make an appointment. You can't talk to this. You can't do that. And whenever you call a phone line, it's like our staff is, you know, running thin because of the COVID. I'm thinking, why would your staff on the phone run thin because of COVID? You think people are going to get COVID on the phone or something? I mean, I don't get it, Kurt. I don't understand. But they're using this to really remake America. And big corporations are going along like you wouldn't believe. I mean, why would you have less people manning your phones because of the COVID, Kurt? Is everybody so sick they can't, like, be a phone operator? I mean, there's job losses to the mass. And if your stores are closed, you'd think you'd beef up your phone support. You'd be like, hey, our stores are closed. We can't help that. But we've tripled our staff to make sure that we can serve you or whatever. I mean, I just don't get it. Okay. And then they're like, we used to be open 15 hours a day. Now we're only open 5 because of the COVID. And I'm going, well, if you want to push all your clients through in 5 hours versus 15, wouldn't we be forced to be closer together? Just by the very nature? So why would you have less hours? You would think you would have longer hours under the COVID. I just don't even understand it, man. Now we're going to have visitor log checkpoints. Hey, Kurt, you can get a job in New York if you want to move there as a visitor log checkpoint or monitor guy. Wow. All right, according to Kurt's August 5th stories, Kurt wants to talk about ballot harvesting. Kurt?
Well, you know, I'm kind of a little bit of farmer kind of guy, Sam, and so, you know, you hear that word harvest. And
Kurt
you think,
just loves that harvest word, doesn't he?
Well, you know, I mean, you're thinking, hey, you know, you plant a seed and then you harvest and stuff like that, but ballot harvesting is a whole new kind of a, what would you say, a new kind of harvest, Sam, and so the way this thing works is, if you're unfamiliar with this term, is they send out, well, anyway, here's the headline from WorldNet Daily. Ballot harvesting, ex-attorney general warns new vote plan is ripe for fraud. And then sub-headline says, this is a huge deal. So the way this works, Sam, is, those who want to do this, quote, vote by mail thing, they print up, you know, a gazillion ballots. And, well, I mean, because you wouldn't want anybody disenfranchised, of course, Sam, but by simply printing up that many, you're already disenfranchising the people, you know. But they say then they're going to send them all out to everybody and their dog. And in some cases, dogs have received them. But anyway, they send them all out. And then what you have is you have, well, you know, little patriotic Americans who go from house to house and harvest those ballots, if you will, and make sure that they're properly filled out and turned in. And, of course, this doesn't affect, the outcome, Sam. I mean, you know, this kind of activity, but ballot harvesting.
Yeah, according to your stories on the 4th, Kurt, even Mike Pence is worried about this.
Well, I mean, why wouldn't he be, Sam? Wouldn't you be worried about if, let's say you're, you know, kind of a crazed American who hopes for honesty and, accuracy in the vote? Wouldn't this be kind of a concern for you?
Well, it depends on what my goals are, Kurt.
Yeah, good point.
You know, if I want real honest votes and I want to be elected and anything else, of course, it's a gargantuan concern. But if I'm just playing the game as a big swamp monster and I just want to basically make you believe there's a vote choice, and I know Biden's the kind of next gentleman shoe-in based on the gentleman's club of the deep swamp and everything else, then I'd make it sound like I'm really concerned about this and get to the bottom of it. But yet I'd really just be secretly going, aha, this is incredible.
In the story you're talking about, from Breitbart says, spreading Pence, this is what he had to say, spreading mail-in ballots everywhere is ripe for fraud.
He's right as rain, Kurt.
Then subheadline, absentee balloting has signature checks.
Okay, so hold on. This is the difference. Let's be clear. This is the difference of what They've already got going with absentee ballots versus what they're proposing with this vote fraud scenario. People think that they're talking about the same thing, but the laws and the guidelines and the rules are completely different, as Mike Pence's point, Kurt.
Well, yeah, Sam, and think about it. The standard way is, you know, you have each precinct, okay? And let's say you got 500 voters in a precinct. You know, I mean, I'm sure it goes up or down. But in the precinct, you have judges, you know, voting judges or whatever, who live there. And they see the people that they live around. And then, you know, normally you'd have people come and prove that they're really them. You know, I mean, they've got some kind of ID, just like you have to have when you got to go. I mean, where do you go that they don't require ID and yet they, you know, say they don't want to have it in some voting? But anyway, so you know, this is how it's supposed to be. So you've got people you know that are there and they know you, and then, you know, they check your ID and make sure, and then they give you a, you know, an official ballot, and then you have in the privacy of your, you know, area or whatever, you fill that out with a paper and a pencil. You know, you don't need some, you know, election computer to, you know, mess it up. But then they take those ballots that are in a box and they add them up and they write down who got how many votes, and then they report that.
And they have people that ensure that the integrity of the votes there. See, the problem is you can't commit vote fraud that way, Kurt. That's the problem.
Well, I know,
with that.
Sam, but you know, isn't that the way we're supposed to do things?
Yeah, and isn't that the whole point here that President Trump and President or Vice President Mike Pence are making? And
that's
this
exactly
ex-attorney
right.
general as well?
Yep. Good point, Sam.
Well, yeah. Now here's the interesting thing. There's the next headline, Kurt, in your notes that say this, that says this. Trump threatens governor after statewide mail voting approved. Quote, see you in court. Now, Kurt, is the word there threatened? Is that a fair word, do you think, or do you think that's a wordsmith mainstream press thing?
Well, it's a Western Journal story by Jonathan Jones, so I'm sure that what it really means is, you know, he's saying, look, you know, governor, you're doing, you know, illegal activity here, and I'm going to have to go to court. But, Sam, the sad thing is, you know, when you go to court, I mean, when do you get a speedy trial, and how do you ever get, you know, honesty and justice in the courts? We've been talking about that before.
Yeah, for sure.
And you know, so, well, but this is where they're talking about Nevada, and basically they're just sending out ballots and
everywhere to everybody
for fraud. And
I agree, you know, but here's what I changed the word to. I took out the word threatens and I replaced it with the word challenges.
Yeah,
so I think that's more fair, because I don't think Trump is threatening anybody. It's not a threat.
No.
Okay, that's just such a negative term. Every time you hear about Trump, there's always a negative word. And I believe in the Western Journal case, it's probably not intentional. But we end up with this mentality that continues to just permeate. So in court, you don't threaten people, Kurt.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm not saying nobody's ever done that. I'm just saying that's not what court's about. It's a challenge, though. Trump challenges.
Says,
go ahead.
The president said in a tweet, he says, it's in an illegal late-night coup. Nevada's clubhouse governor made it impossible for Republicans to win the state. Post office could never handle the traffic using COVID to steal the state. See you in court.
So Trump challenges the governor. Isn't that a more fair way to state it, huh?
Abby Johnson was once director of a Planned Parenthood clinic in Bryan, Texas. After a moral crisis, she quit, and now she campaigns against what she once endorsed.
They implement abortion quotas in all of their clinics.
What do you mean, quotas?
You have to perform a certain number of abortions every month. One of the reasons that I left...
Are they explicit about that?
Yes. It's in your budget, right there on the line item. One of the reasons I left Planned Parenthood was because in a budget meeting, I was told to double that abortion quota. And for me, as someone who had spoken to the media and had said, you know, we're about reducing the number of abortions, we're about, you know, prevention, all of these other services, I was shocked.
So since you actually worked at a Planned Parenthood, give us some sense of the relative number of abortions.
Okay, abortions, Planned Parenthood provides over 330,000 abortions a year. They are the largest single abortion provider in our country.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
So anyway, I don't believe Donald Trump is threatening anybody. I think what he is doing is challenging in court what he believes to be fraudulent. And if you feel like you've been wronged, we are taught by the rule of law, Kurt, to go to court and ask for a redress of grievance. Isn't that what a peaceful, law-abiding person would do, Kurt?
Well, Sam, haven't you heard of peaceful protesters? These guys, what they do is they find a police car or maybe a police station and they burn it down and see, this is how the new peaceful protest is done. Don't you understand? The new
Yeah, but this is President Trump and he's peacefully just saying, listen, if you do this, I'll see you in court. I think what you're doing is wrong and fraudulent and I have a redress of grievance on this and I'm going to go to the courts and ask the courts to help me get justice.
Exactly. Imagine
justice,
that.
Kurt. Justice.
Truth, honesty, justice, the American way.
Okay, that's what President Trump is doing. Now, that's not a threat, Kurt. I think that's a challenge. No. I agree.
Well, it's and words not are just important. Rolling over and, you know, letting, you know,
the word threat in this headline puts President Trump, in my opinion, in kind of a bad light, unintentionally probably, but nevertheless. Whereas I believe it's a challenge. And I believe President Trump is using the rule of law and the redress of grievance process established by the founding fathers to obtain justice. That's what we're talking about here. He continues, Kurt, and even gets a little bit more bold.
Well, the president's basically saying, the headline from WorldNet Daily, Trump vows to issue executive order on mail-in votes. Subheadline, I have the right to do it. And I'll tell you what, Sam, it just...
Think he has the right to do it?
Well, we've said for so long that, you know, the president is not supposed to be a king. But I'll tell you what, Sam, neither is a Congress supposed to do so many things that it does, and the courts to do so many things that they do. I mean, you know, it kind of goes back to that whole thing where we're told that we have a government that is for a righteous and good people. And so when you have people that don't fit that, you don't have a government for them, Sam.
Completely agree. Now here's what I would say, though. I would say that President Trump does have a right to create an executive order on this, Kurt. And you would say, well, wait a minute, Sam, you're the big check and balance guy, and now you're falling apart on that? No, not exactly. Listen to the logic for a minute before you, toss out the point. I believe President Trump does have the right to do this, and I'll tell you why. Whether we can have mail-in voting, Kurt, depends on Congress. It depends on the legislative bodies. But here's the problem. The legislative bodies haven't made law and or haven't addressed this issue. Therefore, until they make it possible, there's no provisions for it to be the case. And so if Congress doesn't make it the case, But organizations and people across the land literally try to, by fiat, put it in place. President Trump does have the right to issue an executive order to stop it because it's an emergency. And then say, Congress, I have stopped this because you haven't done your due diligence on this before people are trying to piecemeal this into place fraudulently, illegally, by fiat, whatever word you want to use. And so I, the president of the United States, I'm going to stop it temporarily with an executive order or permanently if you don't step up to the plate. So Congress, if you want me to stop it permanently and codify that it can't happen, then I'll do so. On the other hand, if you want to sit down at the table and negotiate some legislative reality that I can sign, then I'll respect that rule of law. But until then, you're not doing it by fiat and by piecemeal. It's not happening in America. It's too ripe with fraud. It's a national emergency. The very electorate is at stake, and I'm going to stop it. Now, Congress, you have a duty to do. I think the president's on firm ground on this one, Kurt, and I think that respects the checks and balances, but highlights that the executor must do something, because otherwise, where's the checks and balances when all these groups, governors and cities and counties and whatever the case, start to piecemeal this thing into place, and there's vote fraud everywhere? The chief executive has got to stop that from happening. In the meantime, Congress hasn't done their due diligence, they've been derelict in their duty by not doing anything about it, or by not codifying it into a consistent reality. That's their job. And so if they haven't legislatively, you know, put this to place, President Trump can do this. And the courts should back the president and say, Congress, you haven't done your job here. The states are wanting, and the cities and the counties are wanting to do something. And there's no guidance for them legislatively. So we look to the legislative body for that guidance. And until then, the president's not going to let this become a piecemeal fiasco across the country. He's not going to do it. I think the president's within his rights, Kurt, I think he's right on this, to do so. In fact, I think he'd be derelict in his duty not to do this, Kurt. So not only do I think the president has the right to do this, I personally think he has the obligation to protect the vote from fraud while Congress gets their act together. That's what the checks and balances, Kurt, are all about. And I'm normally not an executive order guy. But there are rare instances when, hey, you could have a vote fraud crisis on your hands by piecemeal, by fiat, by confusion, by implementation, by to where it's across the nation. Just you couldn't even rely on the votes. I think he does have the right to do it, and I think he should do it. What do you think, Kurt? Am I constitutionally sound here?
Well, that's probably the question for Dr. Scott Bradley, but, you know, it sure seems like in these days of that we're in, where you have to have, I mean, that's why we have three branches of government, was to each one to try to hold the other one accountable, anytime one gets a little bit too strong, the other one's supposed to kind of push back. And you know, it sure seems like that's probably the only move that the president has here.
Amen. I agree. And the only move that we, the people, have to stop this hodgepodge of confusion and vote fraud from going on in America. I hope our president protects us until we can do something more. All right. Two Chinese stories Kurt has back to back. Kurt?
Well, yeah, Sam. It's just amazing to see this whole Chinese connections to so much of what we do. And remember, ladies and gentlemen, when we mention this, we have no problem with the good Chinese people. We love Chinese food. We love, you know, the good people like that. And yet the communist Chinese, the ones who basically are, you know, if you're looking for bad slaveholders or whatever, and people who hurt people and, you know, kill people, etc., you don't have to look very far. The Chinese Communist government, you know, is right there. But anyway, a couple of headlines from Breitbart. Chinese company sues Apple for intellectual property theft. Now, Sam, isn't it always the other way around? Where it's just like, you know, that old thing called the Ten Commandments, where it says thou shalt not steal, and yet, you know, if somebody is asked about Chinese communist government, they typically just standard practice to steal other people's ideas and, you know, sell them, whether it's movies or whatever else. Well, what about how many times have we seen even big governments, whether it's like, or even big operations like Apple? I don't know if Apple's ever done it. I would be really surprised if they haven't, but we've seen Microsoft and so many others who some little guy comes up with some great idea that all of a sudden they either, well, you know, they come up with their version of it and or they buy the little guy out, telling him, hey, we'll either take it or, you know, you sell it to us, you know. But anyway, I just thought it was kind of interesting switch. There's a Chinese company suing Apple for theft. I thought it was the other way around. But then I guess, Sam, the next headline says China bans cell phones in granaries after video shows moldy corn. So now that will fix the moldy corn. See, there won't be any more moldy corn in China because if you can't have a cell phone in a granary, you can never, ever see a picture.
Yeah, they say seeing is believing, don't they, Kurt?
Yeah.
So, it's just like, what?
What I'm thinking is it'll be pretty interesting, too. You know, there'll be like a job posting at the Chinese Communist government says, hey, if you want to go and check all the granaries and make sure that nobody takes a cell phone in there, you've got a job, you know.
Yeah, it could be a job that would be like, hey, your job is to make sure no one takes pictures of the moldy grain. But what I think they ought to do, Kurt, is why don't they just have transparency and bring in the media and bring in everybody, and why don't they try and clean up the grain problem? And why don't they just say, you know, imagine what? We've had an issue. Yeah. We've had a problem. We're so sorry. It got out of control, and here's what and why.
Yeah.
We're going to put practices in place or, you know, guidelines in place to make sure this doesn't happen, and we welcome the transparency to make sure that we don't get moldy grain in the future. And the second it starts, we want to be alerted to it so we can solve the problem. Isn't that what an open, honest, appropriate constitutional republic would do, Kurt?
Well, kind of like with the Wuhan virus, Sam. I mean, instead of like, well, hey, we got to get rid of all the scientists that were there and everybody who knows about it, they just kind of disappear them. You know, wouldn't it be nice? I mean, even you take our own government, Sam. We talked about the Ammon Bundy, Clive and Bundy case. Wouldn't it be nice if it, you know, I mean, you've got the appeals court that says, hey, our government did all this stuff. Wouldn't it be wonderful if they at the same time said, hey, that means these officials are going to prison? Do you see that?
Transparency and accountability are keys, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
If liberty is to be preserved. Final piece for the hour, Kurt.
Very good, Sam. I'm trying to remember which one the final piece was supposed to be, but sorry. I don't remember that. Anyway, what do you think the final? I would simply say this, that I'd like to highlight the best news we've had for a long time. And
this was the savaging of doctors and Mr. Barr, the Attorney General, over hydroxychloroquine, Kurt. Story.
Okay, yeah.
Remember this one?
Yeah. Yeah, I do. And it's kind of an ongoing story. I mean, we see this on a regular basis that, you know, the Attorney General who says, hey, man, you know, it's not fair what you're doing in the media. How you're beating up on the hydroxychloroquine, something that's been around for 60 years and everything else, just because the president says it's a solution. And it's just highlighting the whole thing that you've taught us forever, Sam, about he who owns the media makes the rules.
Well, there's more and more studies coming out. Ben Swan even doing a reality check on this, and there's new studies coming out showing that hydroxychloroquine drops the death rate in half, plus, Kurt, on this thing. So President Trump proven right again, and the mainstream press just doesn't know how to admit they lied and they were wrong. So they're going to go all the way to the mat with their lies rather than doing the right, honorable thing. Amazing. We just, hey, we missed this one. The president's correct. Let's move forward with solutions that can open up the country, shall we? See, that's what I think should be done. But hey, what do I know? I'm just an idiot, right? All right, thanks for being alongside for the ride. Do not put me into the Hall of Fame. I don't want it. I would rather have the Founding Fathers be in the Hall of Fame and brought back as great leaders to promote the sacred cause of liberty. LovingLiberty.net. God save the Republic. Donate.